visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running for Friday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. Has God blessed us or what? And so I want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. I want to personally invite you out to our church services this weekend. I will be preaching. We had a missionary last week, and I'm going to be going to a conference for a couple of days later on this week, but I'll be preaching the next week as well. In fact, I think the next three Sundays in a row I'll be preaching. We got another missionary coming in October, and I think that's the last missionary that we have scheduled for 2022. So if you do not have a church home, we would love to invite you to Merit Assembly of God. If you are a musician that is looking to develop your gift as a worshiper, we'd be interested in talking to you. If you are new to the area, we would love for you to pray and consider Merit Assembly of God. I'm a transplant. Most everybody in Florida is here from someplace else. When we came, we came with one demand on God. That may sound like an interesting way to put it, but we said yes to coming, but we said, God, you've called us to preach, and so we will go where you've called us to go, but you need to provide a door for us to minister. We were not interested in just sitting around and doing nothing for the kingdom. We wanted our time in Brevard County to be kingdom motivated. And so we said, yes, we'll go. You got to provide a place of ministry. I came as a retail manager. The church that we ended up at was not the church we thought we would end up at. It was the church that God had for us. And it was a season of about 3 years, but because we were faithful in that season, it prepared us for Merit Assembly of God. And so if you're new to the area, we would love for you to come and visit Merit Assembly of God. We're two blocks north of 520. We are two blocks west of Courtney Parkway in beautiful Merritt Island, Florida. And you can get to us from just about any place in the county without too much traffic delay. My wife drives to Melbourne every day for work. It's central to north Melbourne, I would say. Takes her about 20 to 25 minutes. So if you're anywhere near Wickham Park, it's really not that far to Merit Assembly of God. And if you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and be a part of what God is doing. We are going to Acts chapter 10 today. I'm not going to read as much as I did yesterday from the Word of God. Yesterday I read from verse 33 all the way down to verse number 43, and we discussed verse number 34. So let's go back to the Word of God and read just a few verses here. Acts 10:34 says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached.'" We're going to stop right there so we can pick up in verse number 35. Yesterday's program, we were talking about the statement that Peter said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." Now, I will tell you this. There is a statement that says perception is reality. And I have found that statement not to be true. This word perceived Peter writes or declares to Cornelius that he had personally laid hold of this spiritual truth. It wasn't just that that was the way that he saw it. It was he had just personally laid hold on it. So my wife and I have had to come to this place in our marriage where we have to be willing to admit that the things that we perceive that the other person may or may not be doing may not be the accurate position of what's going on there at all. And so that's where communication becomes so important. And so I will throw an example out there for you. It's something that's happened through the years. I'm not talking about a specific incident here, but there have been times when she would say, well, I saw that look that you gave to me. And I was like, what look? What look? And she would describe what she perceived, and I would say, that's not what was going on at all. I don't know if you've ever, you know, had somebody think that you were giving them a dirty look or something, and you're like, what in the world are you talking about? That was what might have been perceived, and I would remind her. I said, You need to remember that I'm the least photogenic person in our household. I'll go one step beyond that. I am the least photogenic in multiple generations of our household. Not just between me and her. My kids are more photogenic. My grandchildren are more photogenic. You know, if a person takes a picture of me and the camera doesn't break and everybody's happy with the picture, that we throw up our hands and praise the Lord. We consider that a miracle. I'm hyperbolizing there just a little bit. But, you know, very early in my life, people would take pictures of me and my eyes would either look like a deer in headlights or I would look like I had been on a 2-week drug binge, with my eyes, mainly closed and my eyebrows doing some funky things. I don't have much control over my facial muscles. And so in our case, we had to learn that just because we thought something wasn't the case. The way that you correct inaccurate perceptions is you talk to one another and you say, what did you mean by that? And when you said this, what exactly were you thinking? And so your perception, especially when it comes with other people, may not be accurate. Now, let me take you back to your perception of God. There are a lot of people whose perception of God isn't reality. There's a lot of people whose perception of God isn't reality. Peter was in a place where his perception of God, his personal laying hold of the truth of God, was still growing, but his relationship with God was founded upon the Word of God and his personal relationship with God in his journey of faith through this life. There are a lot of people who perceive God because some celebrity said something, because somebody made a statement, somebody compromised. They didn't believe the Word of God, so they said, they substituted a philosophy. They substituted another religion. And you find people that'll say things like this: well, we just all believe a little bit differently, but we're going to end up in the same place. Not a biblical statement. Okay, that might be your perception, but it is not it's not a biblical perception. It's not an accurate perception. And so we have to be humble enough and say, God, if my understanding of the Word of God is inaccurate, would you please instruct me and correct me and put me on the right path? There's a lot of people that I know, they might be able to lead you to Jesus, but I'm not sure I would want them to disciple me because of some of the other things that they believe, endorse, support, and bless. That's contrary to the Word of God. So make sure that your perceptions about God line up with the Word of God. And then whatever you perceive about God and it lines up with the Word of God, then you can begin to walk the way that God walks, wants you to walk in this society, and you will find yourself on a much more enjoyable and pleasant path, a much more biblical path, and that will be a blessing to you. So Peter says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God's not unjust. He doesn't play favorites. The soul that sins, it's going to die. Doesn't matter if you are a pastor. Doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher. Doesn't matter if you're a board member, a board member's wife. Doesn't matter if you've never been in a church. The standard is the same. Without Jesus, you're going to spend an eternity without God. If you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and you're living the life that God has called you to live, He's empowered you to live the way, then you're going to be saved. Okay? It's the same standard. The standard for entrance to heaven is not whether you were related to them or not, not whether you loved them or not, not whether or not you're going to miss them. The only way you get into heaven is having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and your sins have been wiped away. Heaven is a sin-free zone. And it doesn't matter what the skin color, how rich you are, how famous you are, how anonymous you are, if you do not have Jesus living in your heart, no favoritism, no unjust judgments. Instead, at that point in time, those people who have rejected Jesus, the Bible puts it this way, there were people who forfeited the grace that could have been theirs. So, he goes on, verse number 35, but in every nation, whoever fears him, capital H, Jesus, and works righteousness is accepted by him. And so it doesn't matter where you came from. Whenever you begin to walk in a reverential awe, a worshipful manner with Jesus, whether you were David or whether you were Obed, get this, his Edom, that means he was of the house of Edom. Edom wasn't the Jewish people. They were descendants of Esau. And yet that household was blessed while the ark was parked there because David had got mad at God. And so every nation, every people group, you are a part of a people group. Part of a neighborhood where, you know, we're constantly trying to encourage the saints at Merit Assembly of God to say, look, it's great where He's brought us from, but where does He want to take us to? And so there's a lot of different people groups. And you know what? I love each and every one of them. My wife grew up in a much more diverse church than what I did. The church that she grew up in, they came from neighborhoods. So there were Filipinos, there were Polish, there were Greek, there were Puerto Ricans, there was Indians from India. There were people from the middle part of the country. There were people from all over the globe. that were represented in her church. And man, the potluck dinners were phenomenal. And we have, to a large extent, that same sort of dynamic going on at Merit Assembly of God, much smaller scale, but the same dynamic where, look, we just love people. And we want everybody to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so Peter's perception of truth says, in every nation, whoever fears God, that's a reverential awe of God, who has that understanding that God is the one who is worthy of all blessing, all glory, all honor, all power, all praise, and we should live that way. Okay, so again, I understand the varying dynamics, you know, like I've told you that God's my father, but he's also my commander in chief. There are some people and you know, they call him daddy and things like that. I want to worship him. I want to worship him. I want him to occupy the highest possible place in my life and treat him with the reverence that is due his name. I want to treat that as a gift of grace that it is in my life. And he says, whoever fears him. Now, if you go around, you can ask people, do you believe in God? And most people will say yes. Some people will say no. An increasingly number of people will say they don't believe in God at all. That's tragic. That's, let me just tell you, instead of putting your head down and shaking it whenever you hear that statistic and moaning and lamenting the reducing influence of God on our culture, flip the script and say, look at what an opportunity God has given to us in Brevard County in 2022, and we get to participate. And so not only does it involve having a right attitude towards God, but it is an attitude towards God that manifests itself in the activities that we do. Your spiritual truth that the spiritual truth that Peter perceives is not just that God doesn't show favoritism, but from whatever people group, and God wants the gospel to go to the ends of the earth, he says, whoever has the right attitude towards him, and, okay, it is right there, verse number 35, and works righteousness is accepted by him. Righteousness is a right standing before God. Okay? It is a condition in which we exist, that we realize that the reason that we are able to enter the presence of God is through the work of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his sinless life, his virgin birth, his resurrection from the dead, and the fact he's ascended to the right hand of the Father. All of that shows the right attitude. The fact that he's coming again, all of that has the right attitude. It's the right standing that we have with God, where we realize that we have an advocate, where God's not our enemy. Instead, he is our greatest proponent. Everything that he does is in a manner that is to be profitable for us. Jesus said, look, I've got to leave you so I can send the Holy Spirit. It's expedient for you. It's in your best interest. Everything God does is profitable for you. That means that if he is standing in opposition to you, something that you're wanting to do, that's because it's in your best interest. He knows the beginning and the end and the process in between. And so him telling you no and him telling you yes should both cause us to rejoice, because God's operating in a way that is going to be in our best interest. So that right standing that we have will manifest itself in us working to fulfill the purpose that he created us for, a purpose that he had in mind before the foundation of the world. Too many people think that once they prayed that prayer, that it's all over, and their part of the recipe is complete, and they can just go off and do whatever they want to do. That's not true. You do not work to earn your salvation, but because you are saved, you work so that Jesus can save others. So I want you to see that you are called to participate, and you are called to work in a righteous manner. Okay? Work in a righteous manner. My wife did this workshop where for the ladies, and she said the word work and worship are tied together. They're the same mindset. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. I believe the word was avoda. Where work is worship. And so when you go to work, that's part of your worship. Okay? Whatever you put your hand to do, do it with all your might. Do it to the glory of God. Do it not distracted, not, you know, looking for the grass is greener type mindset or anything like that. Instead, you have the right attitude towards God, you have the right standing with God, and you are actively engaged in the process of reaching people. You see, righteousness is about your right standing, but because of their right standing, you are mobilized by God. You're mobilized by God. Some people don't like that. I can think of somebody right now that you start talking to them about works righteousness, and they're not going to have a conversation with you. That is something that they haven't come to perceive yet. It's okay. If you haven't perceived something, that doesn't mean I'm giving up on you. I was very determined as a teacher to help my students succeed with their academic studies, and was very, very intentional. And I tell you, when the perception of reality finally came to that one particular student that I have in mind here, we celebrated the victory. You know, you just may need another bright idea from God, moment of revelation where the light bulb goes on and all of a sudden you see God the way God wants you to see him. And it says this: every nation, whoever fears him, whoever has a right understanding of who he is, whoever has right standing with him, whoever has the right activity, you know, doing things God's way, God's time, God's purpose, is accepted by God. Is accepted by God. I'm sure that just about everybody in here has some sort of device that you have a password to. That password says, before you have access to this computer, you have got to have the right password or the right PIN, the right access code, whatever terminology you want to do. And if you don't get it right, we're not giving you access. So we had a technological issue at church a couple of months ago, and nothing had changed. Nothing had changed from the computer standpoint, except for things that had been saved on there were no longer saved. And it was like, okay, we're going to have to look for a creative solution how to live stream on this particular Sunday, because we couldn't remember how to access the program that we were trying to access. So we had to go and you know, do that all over again, create a new password, create a new link, and all of that sort of stuff. And I want you to know today that God accepts those who have been forgiven by Jesus, who have lived the way God wanted them to live, who's done what God wanted him to do. Even if your mind has a senior moment, God never does. He's never forgotten. In the book of Malachi, it says this. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. I'm going to turn back there so I can read it for you directly. And it says this about those who feared the Lord. It's Malachi chapter 3, verse number 16. Some of you didn't know there was anything in Malachi other than Malachi 3:10, but there is. There's verse number 16. It says this, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them." That's right. God was eavesdropping. When you get together with other saints and you start fellowshipping, you start talking, God's listening. He's paying attention. And it says, "So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." And so I want you to know today that God has, if you're living in a reverential awe of him and you recognize not only what he's done in your life, but what he's done in other people's lives, you realize you are not just an isolated incident. You are part of the bride of Christ. You are part of the team, and you celebrate what God is doing, and you're trying to reach as many people as you can. God's got you written down. Even if you forget, even if you don't feel like it at times, I want you to know God doesn't forget, and you're accepted by him. In a world that is predominantly filled with rejection, I want to tell you today that there's a kingdom where the heart of the king is accepting imperfect people, accepting imperfect people by forgiving them, filling them with the word of God, filling them with the life of Jesus Christ, filling them with the Holy Spirit so that they can live the life God always wanted them. Today, if you're tired of being rejected by others, I want you to know there's Jesus today, and he wants to accept you as a part of his church. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Shine.